I beg your pardon, I'm just getting over a bit of a cold here, and it shows up all of a sudden, and it's showing up. So, I'm sniffling. Well, it's great to be back among you all. I think there's some new faces here that I haven't seen before, and probably some people I forgot that I knew that I should remember, so we're going to probably have some of those awkward moments, but it looks like God's really at work here. I hear good stories. I heard a lot of good stories at Freedom Session last night. One after another, it was an amazing night. So it's just good to see what God is doing among you here. My plan, among a few other items, if time permits us, is to give you an update, as well as I'd like to preach the gospel to you. We don't outgrow the gospel. We don't get past it. So here's the update. Are you ready for this? The mission of Jesus carries on, yes. And it will until he returns. And me, well, like you all here, I'm just trying to keep up with him where I'm at. He's at work all over the place, and it blows my mind. And the good news is that it doesn't depend upon me keeping up with him. Isn't that good news? He's at work. It doesn't depend upon me. And so I started out calling this mission to Victoria, but I did it in a rather presumptuous way, as if I was the only person going down or one of the few who is going down to do this. But the mission has been long underway in Victoria. And there are many who are hearing the call to come to Victoria to church plant. There are 20 of us meeting as a church planters collective the third Thursday of every month to pray together. And we need, we think, at least 80 more to reach Victoria like we need to. Less than 4% of the 400,000 people in Greater Victoria are in a gospel, thriving gospel teaching church that is on mission. That's just too few, too little. So before I get into more of what I'm seeing in Victoria, let's preface this by the Gospel of Mark. So if you would look in your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20, we can read that together. Jesus' forerunner John has come on and give this amazing advertising of the coming Christ. Jesus has shown up and been baptized. He's just endured this amazing temptation in the wilderness. And we pick up at verse 14. It says, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.' Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him." Our text that we just read begins with a transition. Verse 14a, "Now after John was arrested," now that he is moved aside, Jesus steps into the public scene and begins his public ministry. So that's quite a transition, but that's really no problem, is it? This is normal pattern for gospel transition. John fulfills his part in prepping the people with his preaching for the coming Messiah, and when that is done, off to prison he goes. Later on in the count, he is beheaded. And you can expect such transitions in life as God's redemptive plan unfolds and you play your part. You're going to suffer, so do so with a smile. Sometimes heads roll, and that's okay. That's good. No one was beheaded in our transition from Campbell River to Victoria. Okay? Just so you know that. But we suffered through it. We did. And that's nobody's fault. Okay? But it served the purpose we saw, further thinning us down and focusing us in on what Jesus' plan might be and not our plan for Jesus to fulfill. Does that make sense? It can take a certain level of pain to get me to listen. And you're probably not much different, and hey, it's all good. Our text transitions from this announcement of Jesus to his coming to this revelation of the gospel in verse 15, verses 14b to 15. And so here is Jesus proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And the gospel is the good news that the time has come for the arrival of the kingdom of God. It is here. And this is an amazing statement. When I look at this, I say, what a statement this is. What is this gospel? Really, what is this kingdom that has come? Verse 15, this gospel of God, what is it? Well, it is the arrival at the right time of the presence, the power, the love, the salvation, the hope, the grace of God, whatever else you want to put into that list. It is the personal presence and arrival of God Himself in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, His Son. The kingdom is the gospel. It is Jesus Himself, the presence of our God. Remember what Matthew 1:23 says? Right? But the prophets said that the virgin will be a child and she will give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And how does that translate? The God with us. That's the good news. That's the kingdom. In Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you get God Himself. Did you hear that? You get God Himself. That's an amazing message. That is a stunning message. The God of the entire cosmos offers Himself free of charge to you, the price having been paid by Jesus. And so the message is, drop your idols, whatever they are, straighten out the crookedness in your path so that you can receive Him. This pearl of great price named Jesus. It's staggering. But consider this. When was the last time in the Bible storyline that you see God presencing Himself among His people so freely, just offering Himself to us? When's the last time you really see that happening in the Bible? I would say in the Garden of Eden. Where we rebelled against our God, cast aside the knowledge and presence of God as if it were worth nothing, and we proceeded to put ourselves in His place. This is what the world in which we live is doing. This is what we're doing, casting aside. That has no relevance in part in our lives and how we move forward and progress as the human race. We've cast that aside behind us. And God withdrew that and cut off that garden from us. And the very things that we continue to seek apart from God, like meaning, purpose, value, love, transformation, hope, whatever else you want to put in there, is only found in God Himself, in the gospel. And if I can just share a personal story here, something that's come out of Freedom Session. A couple of months ago, going through again, this comes back to the suffering transition in the plan of God. But a couple of months ago, as I was just facing the identity crisis of leaving what I knew and what I hung my faith on to something that was just completely different or not even there, led to a real identity crisis for me. I knew it was coming, just wasn't entirely sure. I just didn't realize how deep that was going to go and how that was going to feel. So that was a tough struggle. And a couple months ago, the elders of West Village saw that. The people of West Village saw that. They saw what was going on. They were able to shepherd us and pray for us. And then a couple of months ago, they gathered us in the context of our community group. And the elders were there and they anointed us and prayed for us. And for me, it was kind of an emotional withdrawal into myself. It was something that actually began way back in my childhood, but is really coming to the surface in this time of suffering, where life is painful. Grew up in a very painful, dysfunctional home, and I decided one day it was not good to feel anymore and to seal that up inside. As it says in Freedom Session, to freeze those emotions so they don't work anymore. It just seemed safer. It seemed like a great idea at the time, but that doesn't lead to very good relationships down the road, does it? It doesn't lead to a very full and rich life with others in the kingdom of God either. And God pointed out to me in that time when I was reading through the book of Revelation, I came to chapter 21 where it says that when the old order is gone and the new order has come, that God is going to be present among us forever. He's going to be our God, we're going to be His people, and He's going to take away all the old order, all the suffering, all the curse, and He's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. And God says, way back when you were 18 or 19, that's what you were looking for. Okay? What you were looking for was actually found in the gospel. Now you need to let that go and let me do that for you. Everything that we pursue in life is actually fulfilled and found in God Himself, in the gospel. We pursue food, comfort food, feels good, eat food, comfort ourselves. Jesus is the bread of life. Whatever food we eat here, we're going to be hungry again. He's the bread that fills us up forever. We can drink, but Jesus is the waters of life. There'll be no, everything we want, everything from sexual intimacy to whatever it may be, is found and ultimately fulfilled in the gospel. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to cast God behind us and walk off and try to figure that out for ourselves. There is no fulfillment for those things. And that's what we see in the world in which we live. So, as you can probably guess, it's complete folly to exchange the glory of God for what we can muster on our own. It's a completely inexcusable thing. It remains the one unifying reason for all the evil, suffering, and death that characterizes our world as we're busy playing God and trying to satisfy ourselves, using and exploiting one another. Genesis 3 is the reason for the world being in the condition and the shape that it's in. So what are we thinking when it comes to this gospel? What are we thinking? Really, what am I thinking? Am I mostly day-to-day thinking about me? Am I dwelling on me? What am I doing in the light of an announcement and a revelation such as we see in the first chapter of Mark? You know, I'm bewildered by myself at times, even today. What is wrong with me? What do you dwell on throughout the week? Has this gospel grabbed you with such a hold that you keep coming back for more every hour of every day? Is it enough for you, or are you more about you and the things of this life? Therefore, as verse 15b says, repent and believe in this good news. Repent and believe in this good news. In spite of you and me and the rest of the world, God still intensely loves us. He has so loved us that He has re-extended Himself to us again. He's taken that risk. He's moved into the neighborhood. He's stepped into our shoes. He's walked where we walk, and He bore our sin, our curse, our wrath on the cross so that we could have Him again. That's what we're talking about here in this announcement. Why would He do that? Because He is so good. Beyond anything we could ever comprehend, He is so good, forever silencing the lie of the serpent back in Eden. This journey from the fall to the cross silences that forever, that God is good on a level that we just can't comprehend apart from Him. Therefore, hear Jesus. Hear Jesus. Turn. Come back home. Prostitutes, murderers, Wiccans, pot smokers, psychedelics, self-worshipping pantheists, sexually disordered, self-righteous, judgmental, religious hypocrites, broken, lost, hurting, lame, diseased, hopeless, whatever else you want to put there. All of you people, come back. Believe that you are loved. And receive the greatest treasure you could ever imagine, God Himself. Become His child if you're not. Jesus did not come to condemn you, but to save you. It's okay to come into the light. You're covered by His blood. You're completely forgiven. It's like Jeff said at Freedom Session last night, when you settle that question of are you loved, that changes everything. That's what we're talking about here. In spite of us and who we are and what we've done, we are loved. And here's Jesus proving and showing what that is about and what that really means. You can be healed. You can be made whole. You can have true family forever. So what a declaration we behold in the gospel according to Mark in verses 14 to 15. This is our gospel. So what are we doing? What are we doing? Beholding the amazing gospel declaration of Mark right here, how can we not help but to believe? follow and take up our cross and follow Jesus in his mission. Verses 16 to 20, if you have a peek at that again. And also at the end of the book, chapter 16, verses 15 to 16. Hearing this gospel declaration, seeing how it plays out, how can we not help but to believe, follow, and take up Jesus' mission with him? How can we not hear his call to also follow us? As he's walking through the countryside of Campbell River and Victoria, calling people to follow after him. Jesus is still doing this by his Spirit, walking the countryside of this world. The Father continues to seek after those who will worship him in spirit and truth. Jesus is still calling people just like you and me, who have repented, who have believed, to follow him in his mission to the world. Verse 17, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. That's for us who have believed. Preach the gospel to all creation. Chapter 16, don't leave any stone unturned. Take up his mission to Campbell River, his mission to Victoria. So let's move into an update with this gospel in mind. Verse 17 of Mark chapter 1 was our verse going down to Victoria, and it remains our verse to this day. Our mission continues to be following Jesus so as to carry out his mission. Of course, in the power of the Holy Spirit, not in our own strength. In fact, we hang our lives on these two red letter verses. Now, it's all the Word of God here, but I'm just making a statement. We hang our lives, the Martins hang their lives on these two verses. Believe and follow in the mission. We follow Jesus because of who he is, and we carry on his message because there are many more who need to likewise believe in who he is and to receive him. We, by virtue of being believers, are called to be missionaries. It's part of the salvation package. We have to repent, believe, and follow in a way that helps others to do the very same thing that we have done. To help our brothers and sisters to grow in that, to help one another grow, but also to help those who are outside this family to become part of this family and to do the very same thing that we are doing. It's also worth noting in verses 16 to 20 that it's not only speaking to the individual and collective responsibility to bring the gospel to lost people, it's also how the church itself is planted and built. Commentators tell me this is where Jesus plants his church right here. This is where it begins, and it builds from there. It becomes official in Acts chapter 2, but they say this is the planting of the church right here. When people respond to the call of Jesus and they gather around, they follow him and his mission. And that's how you continue to plant, that's how you continue to build the church that's been planted. You continue to sound this call of Jesus so that others can turn to who he is and what he's done for them and follow after them and go on mission with him. That's the plan. It's that simple in theory, but it's obviously not so easy to do in real life, is it? And like I said, there's a lot of suffering in this deal. And that's just the way it is. And we don't have the time to go into the theology of the biblical storyline to explain all that. You can figure that out and work that out together. But how the first church was planted here in chapter 1 of Mark is how the church continues to be planted and grown. The basic gospel plan hasn't changed, and it is what we do until Jesus returns. This is it. Boiled down. So, you would probably like to know how it's going with the Martins in Victoria, wouldn't you? Are you ready for that? I'm going to do my best to make this as clear as I can. It is chaos. Beautiful chaos. But in light of this gospel, let's just try and do this here. A year ago, last spring, I walked a number of you through a keynote presentation titled Mission Victoria. And now I'm going to try and rewalk you through Mission Victoria 2.0, as I call it. So I'm going to tell you what we originally anticipated doing, our plan for Jesus to fulfill. And then I'm going to try and show you what I think Jesus is actually leading us in and what we see happening in the east part of Greater Victoria. So consider this more of an upgrade than an update. So here's the original plan. Here's what the original plan looked like a year ago. It became clear and evident to us in probably the fall of 2013 that God was leading us out of Campbell River. Our time was done here, and it was time for change. And as we entered into this massive transition with Jesus, wondering what we're going to do and where we're going to go next, we knew it had to be based squarely on a vision of Mark 1, 14 to 20. We were going to follow Jesus out into the harvest and see a new work begin. We knew that could happen in about three different ways. Our first choice came out of a prayer to plant a church, but we were, again, willing to go and do whatever he had in mind for us. But that was our first choice in our prayer. Our second one is that we could renew an existing church in its mission that was ready for that. The third option was that we could replant a church where it had not gone well, but was able and willing to give it another go. And we actually looked at all those options. There was opportunity in a number of those options. There's a number of opportunities in those options. So we looked at all those, and all of them in one way or another, to one degree or another, would have allowed us to fulfill our vision and calling, yet God opened a door for us in Victoria with West Village with the prospect of starting a new church. So he fulfilled that prayer for us, so far as I can see. West Village Church, for those of you who may not be aware, was planted just over 4 years ago by Chris and Kelly Sinusol. And it has been and continues to actively seek how to reach all of Victoria, not just the West Shore and Langford. And we, the Martins, have become part of that attempt. And again, they're looking for other church planters to come down and do the same thing in other parts of Victoria. God is doing something in Victoria. So nearly a year ago, we began a three-year plan with West Village to do just that. So last June, you saw a map that looked like this. In the west was West Village Church, well, it still is. In the east, the north border of Tillicum, you see the Martins' home. That's where we live right now. That's our home. You're welcome to come and drop in and bunk with us anytime. And then there was our broad target area. The Tillicum Gorge, Burnside, southwest district of Saanich, and continuing down into across that little waterway into Esquimalt, the district of Esquimalt. So then there's Saanich Baptist Church up in above there. They have a big area to look after. And then down in central Victoria, there is Central Baptist Church, two of our longstanding denominational churches seeking to do what they can. And the demographics have remained essentially the same. The only one that's changed is the median age is now 43. You can laugh at that. The median age was probably like in 2008. I don't even know exactly. But that's kind of where those haven't really changed. It's basically the same from what I see. Community group. The plan was to begin a community group in the Martins' home, that little green dot that just appeared. That was kind of the plan. We didn't know exactly when and how that was going to unfold, but that was the hope that at some point, a year and a half, or a little more into being in with West Village and being reoriented and trained, that a community group would begin. And a community group is a group of anywhere from 6 to 25 people, and they form a smaller community that meets midweek in addition to the Sunday morning gathering like you're doing here, something like your growth groups, I would imagine. And these community groups act like family. They just don't meet, like, say, on a Tuesday night. They're available to each other 24/7. They're there to love and serve one another and to do what we can to be family together. And not only are they loving one another, they're on mission to the neighborhood and the community. They're figuring out how to love neighbors and bless the community. See, church Sunday morning at West Village gets unpacked at 6:30 a.m. in the Odeon Cineplex Theater in Langford, and then by 12:30 it's packed up and in the trailer and gone. And that's it. There's no nice building to go to. There's no place to be but in your neighborhood with your community group after that, and then living as a missionary wherever God has placed you in Victoria. So we're hoping to start one of those up and see one begin in our home about a year and a half after our arrival in Victoria. So that would have been a little bit into next year. This allowed us time to settle into Victoria and to get retrained and reoriented into a very different type of church situation. And after that community group began, to see several community groups multiply in the area. As we begin to reach people, train up leaders, release them, they begin groups in their homes and in their neighborhoods, and they spread out into that. And multiplying community groups of West Village means this. It doesn't mean that we're just trying to get more leaders and get more people to gather over here. How we multiply is by disciple-making. We make disciples. We just don't try to multiply groups. We try to multiply disciples, people who actually have turned and are following after Jesus. That's very important to how a community group is designed, so that they are, number one, believing in who he is and doing what he does and leading others to do that. So it's just not gathering a group in a home necessarily, right? That's the ideal plan. That's how we would multiply them. So as disciples and leaders are built up and they're following this mission, then they multiply, we bless them and send them out, and we stay networked together. And so we want to multiply several throughout the target area, and when we reach 3 to 5 community groups, we are what West Village calls an expression, okay? So you have 3 community groups, anywhere from, 15 to 30 people in this group. It all depends. And even though they remain part of West Village and always will, and they go to the Langford gathering and they stay a part of that, they become uniquely responsible for the area in which they're in. And that could become a church plant, or it could just stay an expression and make 2 or 3 expressions and never really become a full church plant, whatever is needed in that area. So that's what an expression is. So Langford doesn't so much as worry about Tillicum Gorge. The home base, West Village, is that expression of West Village takes that up. And they help each other and trade resources. We help you over here, you help us over here, but we're responsible here. Home base remains responsible for where it was planted. Does that make sense? That's what an expression is about. And it can become a church plant, and that's kind of the hope. And so that was the basic plan. And it looked like a really good plan to me. Doesn't that look like a really good plan to you? It looked like a really good plan. So let's go to the next slide. And let's look at the real-time plan as it has been unfolding, okay? Let's see what's actually happening. We told you what I thought was going to happen, what I thought would be a good thing for Jesus to do, but let's look at what he might actually be doing and see how that compares, okay? So let's go to the same map. And it's going to look a little bit different here. So, yeah, West Village is still where it is. We're still living where we are. Okay, that hasn't changed. What has changed is our broader target area. So this is where the first change to the original plan takes place. The target area seems like it's dividing right now, not in rigid terms, and we are being hemmed in to the Tillicum Gorge Burnside. That's us. Okay? So you can see, I hope we can see a little area up here over there. Okay, that looks kind of weird. I was just trying to figure out how to draw that on there. It looks funny, doesn't it? But that's kind of what's happening, okay? So this is the area, and then there's the second area that's kind of been pinched off for now from us, called the Esquimalt area, this district of Esquimalt, just below. Okay, we initially had our sights set on both, and we still do. Okay, we still do. But it seems like God has got us very busy in that area in which our home is in. Very busy. Lots to do there. And what may happen in the fall here, I'm not sure, in September, January, is it looks like that West Village are bringing another church planter down from Saskatchewan, who will be going into the Esquimalt area. So what will happen is he'll come and bunk with us until he'll come and train with us, as he'll need to be trained and oriented for a while. And he'll help us. And then when the time comes, we'll help him migrate into Esquimalt and help him get started, and then, of course, to be there as a support to him. It's just a lot going on. There's a lot of people there. It's just too much for one to handle. So we see God doing that. That seems to be the plan that's worked out. That's pretty cool. So he's busy in Saskatchewan with his fiance, going through the C2C assessment and raising support over with his group in that area and getting ready to come out to this area. So that's kind of what we see starting to happen. That's pretty exciting. That's very encouraging. So then there's the community group, okay? The next change to the original plan came when we joined a community group that was led by one of the West Village elders, and that's where he lived. He moved north a bit, and that's his new place. So that's where he lives, and so he would be the leader of the community group. But very quickly, I think it was last November, the community group just continued to meet at our house until just a couple of weeks ago. Okay, so we just met steadily at our place. So you could almost put that green star right on top of our place. And we hung out in his community group as I was apprenticed as a leader. I went right back to scratch. And I'm apprenticing now as a potential elder. Very humbling process. That's how West Village works it. If you're called the church plant, guess what you do? They draft up a very fluid 3-year agreement with you. The first year you come down, you have no title. You have no status. We don't care about your past experience. You're just a regular believer who's coming to hang out with us and get a job and start tent making. And let's see who you are and what you're like. We've been through all the interviews. Sounds good, but we want to see what you're really like. So come and live with us. That's pretty cool, right? And so that's the process I've been going through. And they begin to see who you are and how you're going to fit there and how the rest of the body of West Village responds to you and what they see. It's a pretty neat process. Very humbling. Kind of dismantled everything. That's part of my identity crisis. Everything that I thought I was dismantled down to just me. well, not just me, down to what does it mean to believe in and follow Jesus, is what it came down to. That was it. Didn't matter about my seminary degrees or my past experience. Nobody cared. I would tell a story. It just, we don't care. We just want to see who you are and what's going to happen. We want to see what kind of a husband you are. We want to see what kind of a father you are. We want to see what kind of a neighbor you are. We want to see what kind of a brother and sister you are for a while. So I think that's pretty cool. So that's what will happen. That's what's kind of going on here. Kind of got off base here. Let's keep an eye on the time and move forward a little more quickly here. So we have that CG. So it's been meeting in our house until a couple of weeks ago. But the other thing is again, we want to continue to multiply these community groups, CGs, community groups. Sorry, same thing. So here's a bunch of dots going up here, okay? This is what it is looking like right now, okay? So we have turned into, in this newly adjusted target area, we have currently multiplied from one community group into three. Now, you see more in there, okay? We've multiplied into three, making us officially an expression, okay? And so there was the one at my house, and then those two down kind of lower near the waterway there. Those ones exist right now. The other ones don't yet, but they're very close, okay? If all goes well. If all goes well, that's the key phrase there. And so pretty soon, it looks like by January, we're going to be five community groups. And the cool thing is when we reach 5 to 7, we have the potential at that point of becoming a church plant. So that's where it's going. You can see it's very rapidly moving. This is all a rather ahead of schedule, just to let you know, 6 to 9 months ahead of schedule, if not more. And so I'm very excited about this. So I'm trying to be very careful here not to embellish this and puff it up into something it's not, but just to try and tell you the straight truth as I see it. And I'm very excited. So I want to count my chickens before they hatch. And then, boom, what you thought you had just disintegrates, dissolves, and disappears, right? And that can happen in this type of work. Church planting is just like that. So I'm trying to be very careful, but I'm also very excited by what I see. So we see this multiplication taking place before our very eyes into several community groups in this newly adjusted target area. And we're already looking at potential places in the future as to where we could gather as a body there. So we have a couple of places there, potential places. One at the Spectrum High School. They have space that churches have used before. There's Centennial United Church down there, which lets people come in. Is that let a new church planters come in and use their space. And so we're just looking at that. So those are some potential. That's kind of what it's looking like right now. And I think that's pretty exciting. And so here's the question I like to, well, before I go into that, let's just, let me ask you this question first here, and then I'll go to the next point here. I'm just going to put these slides slightly out of order there, Stephen. Sorry about that. But what did you gather from these two maps? What did you see? Here's what I said about a year ago, and here's what we see happening. What did you get out of that? Growth, okay. Some real-time action.
God has a plan.
Exactly. And so here it is. There were and there will be changes to the original plan, but guess what? It's still fundamentally the same. Do you see that? Fundamentally the same. And this is an indication to me that we really heard the Spirit in our mission to Victoria. And that's good news. It's fundamentally the same. What we had hoped would happen is actually happening. Just some slight adjustments. So there you have it. There's Mission to Victoria 2.0. And just before I move on to the next thing here, I want to show you a photo here. This was not this last Friday. We came down here and hung out with muscles. But the Friday before that, this was the group that was in my living room. Okay? You might actually recognize a couple out of there. You might not. If you look really closely, it's a touch blurry, but this is the group that met in my home on Friday night about just over a week ago. And this is 10 people, 5 couples, okay? And they're all either leading a community group or getting ready to do so. And they've come together as the expression in my home, and they all know that we are looking at planting a church. And so on Friday night, I had what I believe is the beginning of my core team in my living room. Now, you might not be feeling what I'm feeling about that right now. Maybe I'm not showing it enough off my face here, but I am like totally bewildered and excited at the same time. I didn't know that this would be coming. I didn't think this would be coming together until the fall. I was like, cool, I get to throw this into the keynote slide for you guys. Now, it's not a bed of roses. It's not an easy thing, okay? There's a couple in there, I'm not going to point them out, who don't know if they like me. They don't know if I'm a leader or if I can lead yet. I said, that's okay. Just come and see what you think. Hang out with us for a while. But they're good leaders. There's another couple in there that says, I really want to get in on this. I just have no idea what it is. So sure, come. Come and hang out and see what God is doing. And there's a couple of other couples that know exactly why they're there. There's three of us who know. Three couples who know exactly why we're there and are committed to that. But that's pretty cool. And so my job will be throughout the summer and the fall is to disciple and lead these people together so that we accomplish what Jesus has put us there to accomplish, which is to trust in Him, to calibrate our lives around Him as a family of believers and to carry on His mission in that area of making fishers of men. So that's a group I'm very excited. And there's kids that aren't present there, okay? And people are holding kids that don't belong to them, so it's not exactly all organized there. But there's a lot of kids that weren't present. They had sports and events, so they're off doing that. They're at youth group. But here we are together, and just boom, came together beautifully in our living room. We hung out from 5 till 10 at night, eating and talking and all that kind of stuff, and seeing what God might be pleased to do with us and why we're there. These 10 people represent, well, some of us were saying, up to 50 people. But these 10 people, I would say, on a more modest scale, represent 30 to 40 people that are attached to this. That's pretty cool, eh? 30 to 40 people who are going to be gathering as an expression and are going to be coming, hopefully, God willing, part of a church plant. This is really cool. This is what I've been hoping for and praying for. And I need to tell you one more story about this picture. I believe it was last November, I was on my knees praying, because obviously not knowing what I'm doing or what to do. Here I am in Victoria, right? There's no church, and we have to see a church come to be. So that's pretty scary, right? But I'm praying in November, and I say, okay, there's these 5 couples in this area that I think would work really good to help us to bring together a core group and to plant a church. So I prayed for them. And then I forgot about it for a couple of months, believe it or not. I was still praying for a core group, but I forgot about these names. Then, boom, on Friday, they show up at my house. These couples, not one less, not one more. These couples are there. And I was in the fear of God at that moment, that God heard the prayer and answered it. And I was just stunned. And I said to them, I threw my notes aside for the night. I said, I honestly don't know what I'm doing. I've just seen God move here. You guys need to know how I've been dreaming and praying for this. You, and here you are in my living room. So I'm very excited about that. Now, I don't want to overstate it. This could just dissolve tomorrow, right? Church planting, this is really cool, okay? But it's also, what shall I say? It's really fragile. It's really volatile. There's some very strong personalities in this group, and I'm one of them. So we're going to be banging heads. But as good family, we're going to stick it out and work it out. But it's also, it's very volatile. It's very fragile, but it's also a really beautiful thing. There's just no given at this point. But this is what I see happening, and I'm very excited. And they're saying to me, we know you have a vision and a plan, right? And we're interested in seeing what that's about and being a part of that. So that's where it's at today. And so I'm very excited. This is all way. We weren't supposed to be doing something like this till next year. So I don't want to jump the gun and get too carried away here by telling you something that maybe not what I think it is, but I think it is that. I think God is on the move. So you can pray that I'll handle that well and that we'll all work together. So I had a lot of other stuff here that I'm not going into. So that's Mission Victoria 2.0. That is your upgrade and your update. There's a lot I could share to you about amazing answers to prayer. I've got a list of things here that are dated to what God has done in answering our prayers one after another. And so I just want you to praise the Lord with us and rejoice with us. But also, you probably wonder, well, what is next? And so we can skip to the next slide. What is next? What's ahead? Well, I'll just have to come back next year and tell you more of how the story unfolds. That's all I can say. I don't know what I'm doing at the time. So pray for me. And I can put on a happy face for you here. I can get really excited about this. But what has Mission Victoria really been like? Yes, it's been really cool, it's beautiful, but it's fragile, it's volatile, it's the hardest thing that I have ever done, by a long shot. I could tell you so much, but I learned there's no room for pride at all. It gets squeezed out of me every other day. Sometimes, some moments I feel on top of the world, most of the time I feel totally lost walking around Tillicum. trying to continue to meet people. I'm on that thousand, the stress of a thousand first dates, trying to meet as many people as I can before us getting there gets old. Pick up and drop off at school, being there every week to connect with the families of parents, start getting them to our house, start hanging out with them, start doing stuff with them, start trying to pull them and start trying to do the same thing with my neighbors, and it is not easy. I've got believers working with me that don't want to listen, and sometimes I'm one of them. I've got non-believers that come in tight and then bolt and run, and you're like, oh man, it's gone, it's over. I'm bankrupt. You know, there's no church plant taking place, right? My own shortcomings and weaknesses are hitting me in the face every other day, but we're being pruned down by the Father to fruitful branches in the vine of Jesus. It's not about me, it's about Jesus. I'm reminded of that. If you don't do this, it's not going to happen. And I'm good with that. I'm good with that. I'm good with whatever the outcome is. I just want to be faithful to that. I don't want to back down from what I believe He's called me to, but it's about Him. It's not about me. I look for Him every day I get up. Where are you walking? What are you doing? How do I cooperate with you? How do I join you? Every day. It's in, you know, it's not some physical, tangible thing. It's purely spiritual. I don't have an office to go to anymore. That is weird. I have no church building to go to. The theater's packed up. And so it's just out there with people. And that has not been an easy thing, but it's been a good thing. So Mark 1, 14 to 20 is about me and you too. You're included in this. Continual repentance and faith in the gospel. Getting back to following instead of thinking, hey, I'm side by side by Jesus. We're buds here. Rather looking for what He is doing in me and those around me and trying to submit to that and cooperate with that. So what does this mean for you? The very same thing that it means for me. Me going down to Victoria doing this is, you know, yes, it's just not something a church planter does. This is something that we all do as followers of Jesus. What I'm doing, you should be doing. You should be trying to figure that out yourself in your own neighborhoods, in your own areas of this community. You have the same gospel of Jesus that we have. You have the same mission of Jesus. It's right here in front of you in this book. So stay with it. Stay with it. What I'm doing is what you do. What you're doing is what I'm doing down there. There's some secondary differences to that. So please pray for us in Victoria, and we will continue to pray for you as you fulfill the very same mission in Campbell River. I'm glad that we're together, family, seeking to follow the same Jesus and the same mission. I'm thankful for you sending us and continue to send us, supporting us financially and prayerfully. We could not do this without you, period. You're playing a huge role in this. It's not just in Victoria, but other places in the world. So let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you for your goodness toward us, not in giving us what we want or what we think. Sometimes that happens because we happen to be in step with your will and your plan. Help us to get to better know you and your will so that we become more effective prayers. But we thank you for the same way that you are long-suffering, patient, and so loving with us. Thank you that you walked among us in the first century and you continue by your Spirit to walk among us, knocking on the doors of our hearts and of our churches saying, follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. Amen.